Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Acts chapter number 7. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. And I want to pick up in verse 54. Now, we're going to go back to chapter number 6, look a little bit in chapter number 6 and chapter number 7, and give you a little thought here tonight. The Bible said in verse number 54 of Acts chapter number 7, when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen. Watch this, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done. I pray, God, that you'd meet the needs of this service. I pray, God, that you'd help me, Father, mentally tonight to recall the things that we've studied, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us physically tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us spiritually tonight, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Father, to deliver every word that you want said tonight. And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to talk to you about the death of Stephen tonight. The death of Stephen for just a little bit tonight. Stephen is a very interesting man to study in the Word of God. I enjoy studying him and reading about him. There is not a great deal that is said about him, but there is some things that is said about the life of Stephen. If you'll take your Bibles and go with me back to chapter number 6 tonight, we'll see a couple things by way of introduction. Stephen and his death tonight. You'll find out that Stephen was one of the first seven that was appointed deacons whenever you study it out. Look with me in chapter number 6 and note his character with me by way of introduction. Chapter number 6, verse number 3 says this, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. Now look in verse number 5. The Bible said this, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Look at his character by way of introduction. He was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Whenever you study Stephen's life, Stephen was not just what you would call a fly-by-night Christian. Stephen was not just a Sunday morning Christian. Stephen was not just a bounce-in and bounce-out Christian. Stephen had the right character. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, you know what we read in chapter number 7, don't you? In the closing of Stephen's life, here's what we read about him. But he being full of the Holy Ghost. Can I say it this way? The character of his life run consistent through his life until the conclusion of his life. In other words, he stayed full of the Holy Ghost, man. He stayed full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, he allowed God to use his life continually. So his character tonight, not only do I see his character, but look at his conduct tonight in verse number 8 of chapter number 6. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. His conduct tonight. Stephen, full of faith and power. Stephen, again, had the right character and he had the right conduct. He was living a life that was pleasing unto the Lord. But in verse number 9 through verse number 14 of chapter number 6, you'll find his conflict. You see, any time that we're living for God, any time that we're trying to do anything for God, any time that we're trying to serve God and to have the right conduct in our life and the right character in our life, there will be conflict that comes along the way. There's always going to be somebody that is not excited about you serving the Lord. Amen. Sometimes it may even be our own family that is not excited about us serving the Lord. There was a conflict that come against him right here in verse number 9 through 14. They end up rising up against him. They end up lying against Stephen and trying their best to destroy the life and the testimony of Stephen. There was a conflict. I thought about this. Excuse me, I thought about this. The last time that we sat in an in-person regular service was a Sunday night. Now, this past Sunday morning, there was a few of us that met here inside the church, but for the most part, because of all the snow on the road, we wasn't able to. And the last time that we met, we laid out our plan for this new year. Man, we talked about going after it more than we've ever went after it. We talked about trying to win souls more than we've ever won souls. We talked about Operation 36,000. We talked about going into the low-income areas and doing the different things in those low-income areas. We talked about world missions, man. And boy, we laid out a plan to really do something in this year. And you know what happened within 24 hours of that? It was just like the devil decided that he was going to throw a wrench in every bit of that. Conflict. But can I tell you something? That you can just prepare yourself. Anytime you decide you're going to do something for the Lord, there will be conflict along the way. There will be conflict along the way. I see this, I see his character, I see his conduct, I see his conflict. But look at his countenance in verse number 15. And I'm going to chapter 7, going to preach out of it or talk to you out of it here in just a second. Look at his countenance. The Bible said this in verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. I thought about this, and the Bible said they was looking on him steadfastly, and I began to think about that, and Olivia loves to watch Westerns, and about every day, there's not many days that go by that Olivia and I don't sit down for a little while and catch an episode of The Virginian. How many of you ever watched The Virginian? Man, some of y'all. You're missing out if you've never watched. Can you believe these people have never watched The Virginian? I mean, there's The Virginian, there's Fred Sanford, and then there's Andy Griffith. But think about, I got to think, don't think about this. Don't think about Fred Sanford while I'm preaching. You big dummy, I'll give you one of these across the lip. But anyway, hey, did you know, this is random, I'm sorry. But did you know that Lamont got saved and started preaching? That's truth. Did you know that? Don't you think that I'm just making something up, aren't you? He really did and tried to get all of those episodes took off the air. He got saved and become a preacher. But anyway, Daddy said Esther did too. She probably preached better than some. But anyway, We was watching the Virginian the other day, and they was in a courtroom, man. And there was a guy that was supposed to be, today we would say that he was a mental case. He was a psycho. He was bipolar. He had two different personalities. I know how that is, but anyway, he had two different personalities. And they began to question him, and Brother Randy, they was trying to trigger his other personality. Boy, everybody in that courtroom was steadfastly watching that boy. And I began to think about Stephen right here. They got their eyes fixed on him. And here's what the Bible said. When they looked at Stephen, here's what the Bible said. They saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. I thought about his countenance in the time of conflict. When others have risen up against him, and man, they're going to end up stoning him. He's fixing to become the first Christian martyr. But you know what? As they looked upon him, they said his countenance was as the face of an angel. I thought about Exodus chapter number 34. You know, in Exodus chapter number 34, Moses comes down off the mountain. They said that his face shone with the glory of God. I thought about Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 3, and that angel sitting on that tomb where Jesus had come out. And it talks about his face had a glow about it. As they looked at Stephen that day in the midst of conflict, because his conduct was right and his character was right, Christ was still right there with him, and his countenance had the glory of God on it. You ever seen somebody in the midst of conflict in their life, but even though everything was going wrong, they still had a glow about their face of the glory of God? That's where Stephen's at. We roll into chapter number 7, and Stephen begins to preach to them. You say, what did he preach? He preached Jesus to them. He goes all the way back to Abraham and walks them all the way through from Abraham to Jesus and tells them about the Lord. When we come into chapter number 7, the closing of it, his accusers in verse number 51, listen to what he says to them. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Now, I thought about Stephen right here. Now, I thought about his life, and here he is at a moment when they're fixing to kill him. At a moment when Stephen, listen to this, could have compromised. But Stephen looks at him and he says, you're a bunch of stiff-necked people. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you're a bunch of heathens. Amen. That's what he's saying to him. And he never compromised on that. He goes on to say, verse number 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Look at verse 53. Who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. The Bible said, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Can I tell you something? That's what somebody filled with the Holy Ghost preaching to you will do. It will cut you to the heart. Some people says, well, you stepped on my toes. Well, I missed if I stepped on your toes. I was aiming for the heart. The Bible said they was cut to the heart. And look what they do. They gnashed on him with their teeth. They jump on Stephen and begin to bite him. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But you know what? Stephen never changed. Stephen stayed consistent in the midst of every bit of the persecution that is against him. Stephen never does compromise. He comes down to the end of his life, and I want you to see a couple of things about his death. Number one, I want you to see his companion. His companion, look in verse number 55. Man, I want to rear back and preach like a wild man. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he's down at the end of his life, and he says this, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, look with me, let's just read on, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. You see, number one tonight, at Stephen's death, at the closing of Stephen's life, his companion in death. Everybody around him may have been against him. Everybody around him may have been gnashing on him with their teeth. Everybody around him may have had a handful of rocks and chunking them at him. But Stephen did not die alone. There was a companion that he had at the close of his life. And that companion was the Holy Ghost of God. But Stephen looks up into heaven, and know what Stephen sees. While he's looking into heaven, he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Everywhere else in the New Testament that I can find, we find Jesus seated at the right hand of God. But here we find Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You see, Stephen did not die alone. Stephen was not alone. All his accusers may have been against him, and everybody around him may have even been cursing him and stoning him, but there was one that sticketh closer than a brother that was there with him. You see, Stephen had come to the place that David wrote about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, that was being proven to Stephen at this point in his life. Oh, his companion in death. I thought about this. His companion in death, he was a living companion. He was a living companion. I don't serve a dead God tonight. I don't serve a God that's in the graveyard tonight. I have a living companion. I thought about this. He was a loving companion. He was a loving companion. He was standing when Stephen made the crossing. Standing when Stephen made the crossing. You know, I thought about this. I thought about this. Anytime, I was thinking about a soldier today. Anytime, whenever, which anybody, whenever you roll in at a funeral, they say stand. But whenever that soldier is being brought anywhere, you'll see those people stand and come to salute and to attention. That soldier's there. You know, I got to thinking about Jesus. Whenever Stephen began to cross over the portals of glory and go into heaven at this time, I just can't help but to wonder if Jesus didn't stand up and come to attention and say, oh, that's one that I died for and one that's dying for me. Everybody else may have been making fun of Stephen, but the one that really mattered stands at attention whenever the soldier makes the crossing home. I began to think about my old Grandpa Barker. They draped his coffin with a Christian flag. We draped his coffin with that. I'll never forget that day that they folded that Christian flag, and Brother Noah Fry knelt down in front of my granny and presented her with that Christian flag. They began to play Amazing Grace on the trumpet that day because another soldier had went home. We were standing in his living room that Saturday afternoon when he took his last breath. I can't help but to wonder if Jesus didn't come to attention and stand as another soldier, his companion in death. They was somebody there with him. I'm glad that whenever death does come, boy, we don't have to die alone. We don't have to die alone. I see, number one, his companion. Number two, I see this. Not only his companion in death, but I see his course in death. His course, in other words, the route that he took. His course in death. Look in verse number 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. Look in verse number 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. The course that he took. He looked up and he was calling upon the Lord. Look in verse number 60. And he knelt down. He knelt down. Bible didn't say he fell down. Bible didn't say he collapsed. Bible said he knelt down. I believe it was like this. The rocks was hitting him. And he knelt down. That's what the Bible just said. Whenever I read that and I began to think about that, my mind went back. My mind went back to Isaiah 6. And when Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, "Woe is me." He was humbled in the presence of God. The course in death. Whenever Stephen looked up and saw the Lord, I believe it was humbling to Stephen as he caught a glimpse of glory. And he knelt in reverence and in honor to the majesty and to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His course in death. What I'm saying is this. He did not change. He did not change. You go back to chapter 6 when we see him all the way to the end. His course stayed the same. He never, can I say it this way? He never wobbled on the shaft. He looked up, he called upon the Lord, and he knelt, I believe in all of my heart, in reverence to the Lord that day. His course in death. I want to say something to you tonight, church. May our course stay the same. May our course stay, there's going to be conflict. But may our course stay the same. He looked up. I wrote this little thought down underneath that. He looked up. I wonder what he saw. Well, he saw a great country. He saw. I was studying today, and I just went over to Revelations 21 and read through Revelations 21 again. Got a glimpse of heaven again. Oh, my soul. He saw a great, great, great country. Man, streets of gold and gates of pearl and the crystal river of life. The throne of God. Oh, could you just imagine what he was seeing? I know I've already made reference to Pa, but I remember just a day or two before Pa died, he looked over at my cousin Dale and he said, "Do you see that big crowd right over there?" You know what I believe he was doing? He was beginning, Brother Randy, to get a glimpse into heaven. And you say, "Do you really believe that happens before you die?" Well, it did with Stephen right here. He looked up and saw heaven, amen. He saw a great country. Boy, I'm not interested in dying tonight. But if I do, I believe the Lord will let me get a glimpse just before I cross over of a great country. He looked up, he saw a great country. I thought about this, and this is just side notes. I might come back and preach all of this one time. He saw not only a great country, but he saw a glorious company. He saw a glorious coming. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Oh, yeah. Could you imagine? He saw the Lord. He saw the one that suffered and bled and died so he could live. He saw the one he was dying for. He saw him. But he saw the Father. Saw him standing at the right hand of the Father. But I thought about this. No doubt about it. That was the main attraction. Somebody say amen right there. But no doubt there had been some of his old comrades along the way that he had served the Lord with that had outrun him. And I just can't help but to wonder if they wasn't standing there waving him on, saying, "Come on, Stephen, oh, glorious company." He saw a great country, a glorious company, but he saw a gracious Christ when he looked up. He saw a gracious Christ in that he was standing waiting on him to come home. Number one, tonight in the death of Stephen, I see his companion in death. I see his chorus in death. But then number three tonight, and I'll be done, I see his compassion in death. His compassion in death. Know what the Bible said in verse number 60? And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice. I believe he was screaming to the top of his lungs. He cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. His compassion in death. At a time when if anybody had the right to be mad, if anybody had the right to let somebody have it, he's being stoned to death. You say, why? Because he's serving the Lord. Because he's preaching the gospel. Because he's calling right, right, and wrong, wrong. Because he said you're a bunch of heathens and a bunch of hypocrites. You know what he does? As he's taking his final breaths, Hubert Lockyer wrote the All series. It's a very interesting series of books. Matter of fact, I read after him a lot. I read after him today about Stephen. All the men of the Bible, all the women of the Bible, all the trades of the Bible. He's got one book that he done of dying, last words of dying sinners and saints. It's very interesting to read. Stephen had some last words. You know what they was? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That was the last words of Stephen. I'm talking about his compassion in death. Stephen, can I say this? Stephen was one of the greatest, if not the greatest example of a Christian in the Bible. You say, why? Well, what does the word Christian mean, Christ-like? It's what it means. You say, well, you really think he was? Well, do you not remember Jesus was hanging on the cross? He had seven different sayings, and the first three dealt with other people before he even talked about his own need. And one of them was this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what Stephen is simply saying? Here's what he's saying. Father, forgive them. Lord, don't hold this to their account. God, don't charge them with it. Lord, lay not this to their charge. Man, you don't talk about compassion in death. You don't talk about compassion in death. Come start playing softly, if you will, Miss Tanya. You don't talk about compassion in death. If you was being stoned, well, let me just say, I don't know your heart. If I was being stoned, I'd probably be saying, Lord, kill them. Kill them. And Lord, if they don't make it where I'm going, it'll be all right too. Let's just be honest. I mean, that's what prednisone makes you do. I'm just being real with you. In our mind, they're stoning him. They've lied about him. They've lied about his life. You go back and read chapter number 6 and the accusations. All because he's preaching the gospel. But what compassion he not only had at the beginning, but he had at the end. You see, a lot of people says, well, yeah, he wasn't being compassionate. He called them a bunch of stiff-necked people. Done it because he had a heart of compassion making a difference. He loved them. If somebody loves you, they'll tell you the truth. He loved them. His compassion in death. I'm not the bearer of bad news, but I am going to give you the Bible tonight. It's appointed unto man once to die. And death is something that all of us are headed to one day. But I'm glad when I get there that there's a companion waiting on me. I want my course to be right. Amen. And can I say something? I want my compassion to be right. Being rude never got anybody anywhere. I was talking to Leslie today, and I told her about an individual that wouldn't even talk to me this morning. I walked by and said, "How are you?" Looked at me, and I thought, I could just hit you right in the back of the head. I'm telling y'all, I'm in rare form right now. It made me mad. I have, Brother Randy, there's been several times that I've been there for that individual when they needed help, that I dropped what I was doing. Turn your nose up to me. We might just see if the Bible's true where it says the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. I don't ever want to be that way. No matter what nobody does to me, no matter what nobody says to me, man, may we be like Stephen. May we have a heart of compassion. Even when this world is killing us. You know, the world might be killing us, but Jesus ain't going to take it sitting down. He didn't with Stephen. Amen.